So, I'd like you today to reflect for a moment on the earlier liturgical scripture shared by Karma. And note how the wealthy man went away from Jesus. He was shocked and he was grieving. He had kept all of the commandments, and he had, by every measure of his Jewish faith, he had obeyed God's will. And the man, he did have many possessions, and therefore he was powerful, but he lacked one thing, and what he lacked was what he possessed. Jesus challenged him to give away all of his money. Now, as a good Jew for that time, he would have given away 10% of his money, because that's the tithe, the 10%. But Jesus said to him, no, give all of your money, all of your possessions, and then in your poverty, you can become my disciple. The scripture concludes that he went away, so he was in shock. And wouldn't so many of us be that way? So I have a question for us. And here's the question. What do you think the rich man did? Because the text doesn't say that he couldn't or wouldn't give away all of his possessions and money. It doesn't say that. Possibly he left in shock and grief because he knew that he was about to give everything he owned away. All of his property, his possessions, money, so that he could follow Jesus. So, in many of these biblical parables, we don't hear the end of the story. Did he or didn't he? And what would you do? Stewardship, defined especially in religious gatherings like ours, has to do with sharing proportionally of time and talent and material possessions for the benefit of church and society and our world, all creation. In the Bible, the word for steward is better translated, though, as another word, a trustee. Mm-hmm. We in our church, we happen to have a board of oversight, our board of trustees, who are the gatekeepers for what happens here in our church. Not only the financial part of it, but nurture and care, religious education, missions, personnel, building and maintenance, as well as all worship and all music. So these things are all funnel. You know, you want something approved. I have to, as the minister of the church, funnel everything through the board of trustees. And that's true actually with any project or anybody here. You know how it is. If you want something approved, go to the trustees. There are designated committees and ministry teams who volunteer their time, talent, resources to complement the leadership of our trustees. And these groups are entrusted by us with the responsibility to do the best they can in every area of ministry. And we could look at this as good stewardship, or even better, as a trust from others. In fact, everything we have is a trust from others, including life itself. Therefore, the challenge during a lifetime is to make use of that which has been entrusted to us. So here are a few trustee questions for all of us this morning. Who owns you? Does your job own you? Do your possessions own you? Do your family responsibilities own you? Do you own you? Does God own you? And what is this thing about stewardship and ownership and trusteeship? Do we own our living, or does life own us? We like to speak about the life we share, but what about speaking about the life that shares us? The ultimate proof of non-ownership, of course, is when we die. In the end, nothing can be taken with us, and the true substance of who we are is there for all to see. Our bodies become dust and ashes. We can't take it with us because it wasn't ours to permanently own anyway. Life is a trust. So the words Jesus speaks to the wealthy man are words spoken to each one of us. Sooner or later, whether you like it or not, you will give it all away. None of us gets out of life alive, and therefore we must ultimately give it all away to family, to friends, to institutions, to charities, to church, or without a will, to entities not to our choosing. We will leave this world bare naked just as we came into it. I remember my father working on a case in the 1970s. The Howard Hughes will was the case. If some of you remember the Mormon will. Anybody here? Yeah, well, the whole thing fell through because Howard didn't apparently leave a will. I don't know how many people he trusted. So what do you think happened to all of those things? Well, it went through a lot of lawyers and a lot of courts and a lot of litigious activity. But the Mormon will, it was a forgery. So it didn't go to the Mormons. It didn't go to Rice University or to the Boy Scouts or to all of the others that a particular person had named in there. But all of them certainly wanted that money. Outside of the church, trustees are the legal entities of an institution or a state owning nothing but accountable for everything. They render a personal fee in order to manage the estate so that that estate may grow and, say, may give grants to others. Trustees don't own the estate, they manage it. In many Native American cultures, the potlatch or the giveaway is at the heart of their economic system. One gathered wealth not to accumulate for oneself, but to give it away and invest it in others. The richest person in the Native American community was the one who gave the most away. Well, you know, I'm a fan of Sidney Harris, and often he was asked how he was so disciplined enough to write an exceptional column day after day, week after week. Did he save some of his best ideas for certain holidays? Well, Harris said, no, I didn't save a thing. He didn't want to worry about storage or hoarding his best column, since what is often saved is lost. So he gave it all away every time he wrote. And besides, he never ran out of ideas because he continued to receive so much from others in the classics and all the books and magazines, newspapers, conversations. As he had freely received, he freely gave away every idea that came into his head each day. Well, getting to the Proverbs reading, it's a short one. I could read the whole thing, but you know my voice. I always give the longer one to Karma, but here it is. Two things I ask of you, do not deny them to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need. It's that last part. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need. Another translation puts it this way, provide me with food sufficient for my needs. Clement of Alexandria compared a person's possessions to a person's shoe size. Possessions must fit the person. They will be cumbersome and uncomfortable if too large, painful if pinched. A colleague of mine in ministry has a saying which goes, "Church is where we place our trust and where we reconfigure equality and abundance. Churches today should have no poor among them. Its rich can recite the trusty prayer, 'God help me handle possessions with a light touch,' and live a life where not the one with the most toys wins, but the one who goes for broke." Yeah. So, there you go. Ethicist Ron Sider has figured the total income of self-professed Christians around the world to be about $10 trillion. According to his calculations, if this one group of so-called Christians donated just 1% of their income, the condition of the world's poorest 1 billion could be improved by 50% within a year. Now imagine what real good could be accomplished if all of these self-professed Christians were in one accord. Well, the word benevolence, it means disposition to do good, an act of kindness, a generous gift. I was working on copying off this piece of information about my alma mater, Albion College. I went to Albion, you know. But I couldn't print it. I was working on it up north, and the printer, well, it wasn't working properly. I'm not very good with technology, but I was able to get some of it at least. So I'm just going to, off the top of my head, tell you about this man. His name is Dick Vitek, and his wife's name is Marilyn Vitek. And they graduated Albion in 1956. They met there in a freshman class and dated 4 years, did the typical thing. And Dick was a very close friend of my family's and a close friend of my parents. And he attended the First Congregational Church of Wauwatosa, Wisconsin with us. He and his wife, Marilyn, just gave to Albion College the largest financial gift in its history. They didn't say how much it was. That gift, incidentally, was given to build a music center at Albion. They have been meeting in the Goodrich Chapel, which is in the downstairs area, all of those wonderful, talented musicians. And one of these I know grew up in our church, Lisa Anderson. She went to Albion and she trained there as well. But anyway, he's a chemist, but he said, "You know, I think I know where the need is. There isn't any music building." He and Marilyn love the arts, and so there's the gift. And likewise, I was reading about a remarkable gift given by Foster and Mary McCaw to McCormick Theological Seminary. It's on the campus of the University of Chicago, and that's my divinity school alma mater. The seminary's curriculum administration building in Chicago's Hyde Park, where I attended classes from 1987 until 1993, it's named in honor of McCaw's generosity. But before his death, he was applauded for his support of McCormick in a very special celebration service. And I do have these words that were shared. I'd like to share these with you. "I support and I believe in the subjects of religion and education. Religion because it is the cement that holds together any society. Education because it is the only means by which a society can seek to understand itself. My wife and I have, for many years, believed in giving what we can while we are living. We believe that such wealth as we have acquired is property belonging to God, and we are God's stewards or trustees in the management of that property. Further, we believe that funds in the hands of competent institutions can multiply many times the good for others and do more towards God's kingdom on earth than these funds can do earning income for us, which we just don't need. I have therefore given most of my estate during my life to find private institutions that need and can use these funds to benefit society. I do not, in any real sense, feel I own, as my own, any of the property in my name. The property that I have, I feel, is in my care, and I am a steward responsible for husbanding it and seeing that it grows and gets into the projects where God wants it. What you give away is the only thing you can keep. If that statement could sink into the minds of men and women of means, much richer this world, and they too would be. There you go. Well, you've heard this before. And here on Stewardship Sunday, or to put it another way, Trusteeship Sunday, you get it again. You can only keep what you give away, as the Albion College and the McCormick Theological Seminary stories make clear. While we can identify as good stewards of this church and this world and all that is in it, likewise, we can identify with trustees who are accountable for creation and the common good. There need be no poor at God's table if more of us were to be good trustees and to go for broke, sharing and caring for everything for the sake of faith, hope, and love gives everything lasting significance. Amen.